You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Emory Hunt, he does work for CBS Sports. You can find him on X at FBall Game Plan. Emory, appreciate you hanging out with us early this morning, man. There's such a good – well, first of all, we already got it cranked off last night, but there's such a good weekend of football, both college and NFL, coming up. I want to start with you with a question I posed to my co-host just over an hour ago. Carson Beck, his NFL prospects, what he is as a quarterback – there's so much fluctuation in the last 2-3 years over what he can and will be in the NFL. And I pose the question, if Michael Penix couldn't start the season, do you think Carson Beck could be a real option in week one, considering, for the Atlanta Falcons, considering you don't have a first-round draft pick? So what, after last night, do you make of Carson Beck in the NFL, and what do you think he will look like come draft time?
You know, I think when you look at Carson Beck, you look at someone that obviously has played a lot of football in college. I believe it's his seventh season. He's more acclimated to step in right away and help a football team. I compare his style of play, and I could see his trajectory in his career more along the lines of a Matt Schaub. So something like that definitely can help you win football games, but you want to see him be a little bit more consistent throwing the football downfield. I thought that was exposed even more so last night. He missed a couple of opportunities to hit the ball deep down the field. But at the end of the day, a guy that has played a lot, started a lot, has a high floor, and I can see that being his trajectory as a pro.
Well, and sticking with quarterbacks for a second, we know Trinidad Chambliss is trying to go back to Ole Miss for next season. Who do you think will be the best returning quarterback next season in college football? Would it be Trinidad?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, last season going into this upcoming season or this past season or the season we're currently in, there were like 17 names that everybody threw out there. This is the year for the quarterback. So now they push that off to next year. I think the quarterback people are sleeping on a lot is C.J. Bailey out of NC State. I think that's someone who's 6'7", about 215 pounds. He's a little thin, but he gained some weight this past year. So he's trending in the right direction in terms of his weight. But I like the way he throws the football. He has that it factor that you like. So does Chambliss and many others. I think this upcoming draft class, 2027, you expect guys to take that next step. You like how Arch Manning finished the rest of the season. You like how C.J. Bailey played all season long. You like what you're seeing currently in Trinidad Chambliss. Hopefully he can get that additional year. And if everyone else around the discussion of 2026 that came back to school grows and gets better, like a Lenora Sellers, those types, and Darius Minter, who flirted with coming out but decided to go back to Duke, then you have something that you're working with. I feel like we'll see 2027's outlook be a lot better than what we saw this current season.
Emory Hunt joining us here on the morning shift. Emory, we've obviously seen these two teams play before, but much like last night, I didn't know if Ole Miss could match the physicality up front on both sides of the ball that Miami had. Can Oregon match the physicality that Indiana has on both sides of the ball?
I believe they can. The problem with trying to face Indiana or playing Indiana is that you could do everything well, but if you're not disciplined and assignment sound and fundamentally sound, they'll beat you. They wait for you to make the mistake. Because one could surmise that Ohio State had the advantage in the trenches. One could surmise that the first matchup, Oregon had the advantage in the trenches. And we've seen both of those things to be not true. The way Indiana protected, you know, Fernando Mendoza, Alabama, you could have said had the advantage in the trenches. But Indiana just also can match up well up front on both sides of the ball, but they are also very disciplined. And you could beat teams with discipline and execution. They are a high school football coach's dream. But how they play football, because it shows you the words that coaches scream in practice ring true with how Indiana plays up there on the field.
There's no doubt about it. And, Emory, I think there's a lot of drama left to be had in the college football playoff. Obviously, we're in Atlanta. Good opportunity to welcome in Indiana and Oregon fans to the Peach Bowl if they're in town listening right now. I do want to get your thoughts on Dante Moore. There's been a lot of back and forth, you know, over the last couple of weeks of what he is, what he will be, where he'll go in the draft. You know, there's a lot of quarterback needy teams in the NFL coming up for this next season. So what do you make of his prospects? I know I just asked you about Carson Beck, but Dante Moore is a guy that you could see go at the top of the first round.
I do like that he has some perspective, right? And it's rare to find in college football these days. This kid says, hey, man, I'm 20 years old. So he's already letting you know that he's, you know, this is a tough decision for him to come out because he feels as though he's not ready to go from a maturity standpoint, watching how the NFL just chews you up and spits you out. But, and that's a big but, capitalized and underlined four or five times, if you're going to be the top two pick, bro, you got to go. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, I know Nike money is long, but top two money in the NFL draft is just as long, and it puts you quicker on a quicker path to get to your second contract, which is where you make the real money. But I like that he's kind of aware of where he is as a prospect, his age, the maturity level. Is he ready to make that jump? And I like that, you know, here's someone that went to UCLA, started as a freshman, was up and down, transferred, sat out the year, learned the system, and stepped in and became a superstar. But I feel like he's really thinking about it, going down to the wire, and we'll see how it goes at the end. But man, if they're saying you're going to go top two, bro, you got to give Oregon the peace sign and get up out of there.
Agreed.
Emory, DJ Lagway has transferred, and it sounds like he's committed now to Baylor. What? It doesn't feel like, and I've watched a lot of DJ Lagway, that he's really progressed in his 2 years in college. What do you see from Lagway in his game and where he's at now going into his junior year?
Add him to that list of 2027, right? But I like the fact that this is someone that came out hot, you know, just had everybody talking about. I mean, I had a take out there last championship game in studio where it's like, give us a wild card team that can make the postseason and take it out, like Florida, because they have DJ Lagway. They got all these good players coming back, blah, blah, blah. And then he didn't have the season. He reminds me a lot, to be honest, and this is not a knock because I liked him at NC State, but he reminds me a lot of Jacoby Brissett and how he plays. You know, a guy that's a gamer, extremely streaky, and I think that therein lies where he has to improve and flatline his play. You have to know what you're going to get from him down in, down out, game in, game out. And on top of that, he has to stay healthy. His health has been his biggest issue because you can't build consistency if you're never out there. Remember, he missed the entire spring with an injury, and that explains why he started the season the way he did. So he has to, number one, stay healthy, find that consistency, and then we'll see the DJ Lagway we saw as a freshman.
Emory, I called you a knower of all things ball a minute ago, so if you're cool with it, I'd like to pivot to the NFL for just a second. Obviously, we've been talking a lot about the Atlanta Falcons head coaching opening that came open this week with Raheem Morris being fired. There's kind of two schools of thought, I think, around this opening and possibly around the rest of the, you know, head coaching openings in the NFL. Do you want to hire a young, offensive-minded coach that, you know, can really put together the offensive game plan the way they want, and then you bring in a good defensive coordinator? Or do you steer towards the John Harbaughs of the world that are leaders of men and that can, you know, keep you on the right trajectory, but don't necessarily have a huge hand in what you're doing on either side of the football?
I'm glad you asked that question, because that's been my line of thinking since Ben. Like, I hate that we've gotten in this era of got to get an offensive-minded head coach who wants to call plays. Not everybody is Sean McVay. Not everybody is Kyle Shanahan. Give me a head coach that can coach the football team and delegate responsibilities. Those coaches tend to have the more sustained success. You look at your Mike McCarthy. You brought up a John Harbaugh. You look at even, I know people make him a running joke, but he was a very good coach for a long time. Jason Garrett. Those guys that can delegate responsibilities to their coordinators, empower those guys to coach their side of the ball, that's how you have sustained success. So therefore, the coach, the head coach, can lock in on the situational football moments. That's the head coach's job. Okay, let me keep an eye on the game situation, critical situation. Do I challenge here? Do I call timeout? Let me manage the game. You guys coordinate the offense and defense. Yeah, I'll have my input here or there, but I need you guys to do your job because that's why I hired you. I think it's become in vogue to say offensive-minded head coach, defensive-minded head coach. Man, give me a guy that can coach the team and that could also identify talent and that can hire great talented coach that he empowers to do their job.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
We've been throwing this thing back and forth, and I don't want to just get hung up on this one thing. But then I look, and you name Sean McVay, you name Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, Belichick to an extent when he was early in New England when they first went before Patricia got there. It feels like the best of the best, though, Emory, are those guys that run that, because they never lose their identity of the team. It's always that one thing, and they don't have to worry about replacing multiple coordinators, you know, every few years.
Well, every coach is going to have their expertise on one side of the ball, correct? So let's say you're Pittsburgh and you lose a defensive coordinator. You know, if we lose a coach, Tomlin at any point in time can step in and coordinate a defense. So you're going to always have your lean, but in terms of being able to go out there and do it, you have to make sure you stay locked in. I think that's where some coaches lose sight of the game or lose games, because they lose sight of the game situations. We've seen that play out time and time again. Cliff Kingsbury, a great offensive coordinator, but as a head coach, he was so razor-sharp focused on the offense that you saw him lose track of what was going on defensively, game situations. How can I call offense to help out my defense? Those things some coaches can't handle because they're so they have such tunnel vision on their side of the ball. But every coach has their lean on what side they can do. Sean McDermott, another one, you know, even though he's a head coach, but he can lean defensively if need be. So I just feel like coaches that are able to coach the entire 53 are the ones that end up having the most success.
Emory, we got about 30 seconds, but I want to see if you can settle a disagreement that Mike and I had earlier. Uh-oh. The last play of the game in the Ole Miss-Miami game, if you call that the entire game, should it not have at least been defensive holding there at the end of the game? I mean, should you have to call the game the same way for 60 minutes, or are you okay with
objection leading the witness?
Let him play the last 30 seconds.
Listen, if you're jostling for position, you let that ride. But if you got your entire forearm inside the shoulder pad of the wide receiver, you gotta call that, man. Like, nah. But if you're just jockeying for position, I get it. But man, this dude had like his entire inner hand.
Emory, no.
You gotta call that.
That's right. Oh, thank you, Emory. I appreciate it.
I take back what I was saying about no revolve ball. Come on, man.
You enjoy the hula ball.
Was just, listen, for about 5 yards running down the field, he had his jersey on. I'm like, bro, the dude is wearing an Ole Miss jersey. Like, call it.
I ain't trying to see that flag at the end of the game, man. Let those players decide it. But either way, I do appreciate the input, Emory. You are the knower of all things. I know you got a lot of travel going on, man. So safe travels out there. We'll be watching you on the HQ. I appreciate you hanging out with us.
Appreciate you guys having me.